Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here. No One Bills Live this week as we prepare for the 4th of July holiday. Nothing really going on in the football world as of, well, recently.
We did find out Aaron Rodgers went to Egypt.
That's kind of a cool vacation.
Okay. That was his...
I didn't actually see that. I did not see that.
I saw it this morning. I'm pretty sure it's...
I got a notification.
From Connor Rodgers. So.
Yeah, I got a notification that he went on a trip. That like was I didn't click on it.
Yeah, it was apparently a trip to Egypt. So
okay, that's
good for him.
Cool. That's kind of cool.
Oh,
yeah.
Doing more darkness retreats over there
in the pyramids,
in the tombs.
Watch Indiana Jones. There you go. Now you're like, no, I'm going to be an archaeologist for a weekend. I like it. No, but instead it is very hockey related here, especially in Buffalo, because the Sabres have. I would argue, Josh, a very similar offseason to last year. I've been looking at this kind of on the outside looking in. I've been in Nashville for the last few days, so I've kind of been like, especially yesterday when it was my traveling day, it was basically when I got off a flight, I could look at my phone real quick and then get on another one and be like, all right, 2 hours. I got nothing. And so I've been able to kind of somewhat keep up on it. So I'm going to run through this, Josh, and tell me if I'm wrong. A lot of it to me does just kind of feel like last year. And while they're not necessarily bad moves, I do like Jason Zucker. I know Nicholas Abu-Kubel has been somebody that has been brought up quite a bit. I know Chad DeDominicis brought him up as well.
He's a cup winner too.
Yeah, so like I know there's good stuff there. Sam Lafferty, if you want him. There's good pieces there. There is not a single sexy move involved in this at all. There is nothing that makes your heart race a little bit or go, ooh! What's that about? There's no Taylor Hall signs with the Buffalo Sabres, right? There's nothing there. And I think with me, while I was frustrated yesterday, just on a face value, seeing everything going on, going, it's tough for me to get excited about a team, especially a team that I'm still very apprehensive about. I'm still very nervous, especially even a few months after the Lindy Ruff hiring. I still look at that and go, that was too quick. That happened way too fast. I don't believe that the Sabres really did do head coach search due diligence. I just don't. Ultimately, though, this offseason, to me, is made or break in terms of a trade for a top six forward. They cannot go into October, the start of the season, with all of their prospects still intact, with this being the lineup. I like guys like Tage Thompson, Dylan Cousins, Alex Tuch, the young guys in Jack Quinn and J.J. Paterka for their forwards. But it is far too inconsistent for me to sit here and go, change of the coach, absolutely we're getting the playoffs. I like the change of coach. I'm a little nervous about how they got there, but I think that is going to improve this team massively compared to what they had last year in Don Granato. But right now, there is just not a pulse-moving move made on this team yet. And there really hasn't been for like 2 years now.
Longer than that.
Yeah.
It feels like it anyway.
It feels like it anyway that it's been 2, 3, 4 years where you're just sitting there going, okay, it's another 30-something-year-old forward. We're re-signing some of the guys that have been here forever. Honestly, Josh, and I might be in the minority here, and that's fine. I felt almost free when Zemgus Gerenson signed with Tampa.
Yeah. No, that was...
And I hate to say it like that. Good for him. Go try to win a cup. Great. Thank goodness that like the drought era for the most part is sort of, we're just moving
the
those
longest
pieces
tenure
out.
Saber on the team right now is Rasmus Dahlin.
Yeah. Like we're moving out some of the, to me personally, and again, I could be wrong here, just useless pieces that are just like the gritty locker room guys. How good has the locker room actually been? So don't give me that answer.
Yeah. Well, and that's the my main takeaway from yesterday. Now that I've had like 24 hours to kind of digest it and chew on it a little bit, the bottom six is much different and much more legit, in my opinion. If there was no other problems with this team, if you had Tage Thompson score 40 goals last year, if Alex Tuch recreated what he did 2 years ago, if everyone in the top six did what they did 2 years ago, this would be the perfect offseason because your bottom six was bad last year. It was really, really bad. And you could see that Gergensen's wasn't working in that system. Okposo was slowing down. Jost was not what you had the year before. That bottom six needed to be drastically changed, which they did that. And I think they did a very good job. The problem is your top six didn't do what they did 2 years ago. They weren't good last year. They didn't produce like you needed them to. Because if they did, you would be in the playoffs, or you would have been in the playoffs, I should say.
And you statistically got worse because you bought out one of your more consistent goal scorers. And that is, I think, another thing of why this just the start of the offseason. Again, this is day two of free agency being open.
Yeah.
But why
they could still make trades. They could still sign people. Granted, there's not many people left out there for them to sign in terms of what you...
Names that would get you excited.
Right. What we think the team needs. But, I mean, it's very clear that they need a third line center and a top six forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, Joe and I did this earlier with making a lineup for the season. Matthew Savoy is in our mock lineup, our opening night third line center. That was what Joe and I came to the conclusion of. And, I mean, I think that'd be exciting. That'd be really fun. But that's banking on he improves over this summer and he's improved over the last year and he's ready for the NHL game. He's played one NHL game and he's played like 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And like two of them were in the penalty box.
Yeah, really. Like, you're banking on rookies and young players to continue to take these massive jumps. I think you've struck gold with, I think, Paterka and Quinn.
And Benson. As long as Benson can continue.
But that's the thing with Benson. It's like, all right, but let's see if there's another step there, or does he plateau? Does all of a sudden it's like he's not figuring out the NHL game as quickly as, you know, there's hope and that he takes another step, but we don't know.
There is a sophomore slump.
Mm-hmm.
There is the potential for that with any player. So I think expectations for this year for Benson are, hey, just do what you did last year at least. Get 30 points and be a little more consistent throughout the season rather than like here it all is at one point. And then you're kind of
and
invisible
then a very
for the
quiet
rest.
Like month and a half.
Right. Yeah. And I'm not saying I'd be happy with that, but like I said, in terms of what other rookies do usually, it wouldn't be a shocker to me if that's all he did.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see more consistency in terms of Quinn and Paterka took a big step net last year, but then he took like half a step backwards towards the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Quinn, he hasn't been healthy for almost a calendar year now.
Yeah.
So he needs to just get fully healthy and just get back into the groove of things. But that brings us to the all-encompassing point that this top six is...
It's a huge question mark.
Yeah, you have no safety net. And that's what a trade will give you. And I understand to an extent that trades are hard to come by, but like sometimes you just got to take a risk.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to, quote-unquote, lose the trade right now. Overpay for someone. You overpaid for a guy that Joe and I didn't even project to be in the starting lineup. You gave a second rounder for Beck Malenstein. I don't know why I always say Maltesen, but it's Malenstein. Beck Malenstein. You gave a second rounder for him.
Mm-hmm. Which I think...
And he's going to be a fourth liner.
I feel like everyone at the time even went, that's a bit steep.
You know who else went for a second rounder? Andrew Mangiapane. He is a 40-point scorer, and he went to one of your rivals, one of the people the Washington Capitals. He went to one of the teams you're fighting for a playoff spot with.
Can't believe we're still fighting with Washington.
Yeah.
They're not good. They're not good. But, yeah, like they're not – there's nothing here that signals a playoff season is on the horizon. The drought is going to end this season.
I
think a lot of it is due to the fact that they haven't made this big splash trade that makes you go – there's nothing here that is like a stamp of we're here. We're here for the league to respect us again. Because that's ultimately, and I tweeted it yesterday, that it's becoming very difficult for me to care about this team, to even just want to like slightly cover them. And the reason why I got there is not because of the moves they made. It's because these are the only moves they could make.
Right. It's the moves they didn't make. Like, that's the problem.
It's the moves I don't think they're able to make. The league simply does not take them seriously.
Well,
and it's impossible to, because in a league where half the teams make the playoffs every year, you haven't we're now officially at 13 for 13 years, well surpassing the record beforehand. And why should a player who is maybe 26, 27 years old, hitting his prime, want to come here? Why? I'm asking it not as a Sabres fan, as a sports fan, why would a 26, 27-year-old player hitting his prime want to come here when every other star player he has seen be here for the last about 15 years complain about losing the love of the game, going into the abyss, essentially, of hockey, you know, relevancy? It takes confidence to be a pro athlete. I agree. Like it borders on arrogance. But then there is also sort of a, this would be a bad career move for me.
Right.
I would imagine there's a lot of agents, a lot of your friends who are also professional hockey players telling you, I wouldn't go there.
See, and it's interesting too, because earlier today, Spit and Chicklets did an interview with Kyle Okposo. Mm-hmm. And at one point during the interview, he talked about how when this city is going, it's a hockey city and all this good stuff. And like he had some nice stuff to say about Buffalo. He didn't really get into the nitty gritty and the bad areas of it. But that's the problem, is you don't have, like, he in that was saying, you know, oh yeah, we've had a lot of games where the building was rocking and stuff. But yeah, really, like, looking back when they were winning President's trophies, that was almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, we're getting to
that
a point now.
That was 18 years ago when they won the President's Trophy.
We're getting to a point where kids who are going to be eventually, you know, making that step to potentially be professional hockey players, kids literally that don't have memories of the Sabres being not even just dominant, a playoff team.
Right.
We are getting to that point of guys
going. Well, kids drafted this year were like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they were born in 2005 and 2006, so you were 1 or 2 years old, not even.
So you have no memories there.
Right. So that's the problem, is you have been irrelevant for so long that all of the young guys coming in, and even the guys that are becoming free agents, like, you can look at anyone on the current free agent list. Like, let's say Jack Roslovic. He's 27. Zach, he's your age.
Yep. Yep.
He remembers about the Sabres as much as you do.
Yeah.
And all we have is 05, 06, and 06, 07.
And to be fair, for me, it's because I live here that I hear about those teams. Yeah. And I'm like, I have fleeting memories. I mean, I know a little bit about them.
To be fair, Jack Roslovic is from Columbus, so that's close to Buffalo. Like,
But that's my thing, is that
that's just one example.
You're completely irrelevant in the sport of hockey.
Yeah.
You are.
Mm-hmm. And it's
the
getting,
only way they fix this. And this is where I almost kind of want to defend Adams a little bit, but I'm not really. I am frustrated with his job. I'm frustrated at last year, the inaction last year, when you did gain some sort of respect and legitimacy around the league, where we were getting reports from national people going, the Sabres are becoming like a really interesting destination, and they're ultimately what they did was sign Eric Johnson, Connor Clifton, and sign back Okposo and Gergensens. I'm forgetting a few there. I know Jost is a part of that as well. But those are the big moves. That's what you did. In a year where you finally had hockey respecting you again, or at least beginning to, you did nothing. And then this year, when you did go back to the sort of basement, you use the idea that, well, Lindy Ruff's here, so now we've got legitimacy again. And no, you don't.
Look, Lindy, I think he's an important piece to the puzzle here, because he's a proven winner. And I know the Sabres have had proven winners before with Dan Bylsma, even kind of like Ted Nolan, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not the thing that will get people over the line. I understand it helps draw people in and it helps gain a little bit of credibility, but it doesn't, because of the fact of how you hired him, how quickly you hired him, and that he's been here before, and you're just kind of going back to the well to see if that works. And it's getting to the point where you have to sort of take, we talked about this during the season.
Mm-hmm.
You trade for a player, and I think we talked about this around the deadline. You trade for a player that put pressure on, let's say, Casey Mittelstadt or Tage Thompson. You go for a guy that would do that, and you'll see these players play better. Mm-hmm. You'll see these players have more of a fire because, hey, I don't want to lose my job. Or, wow, that guy's really good. I want to also be really good.
Yeah, we've got something.
But here, if you don't sign for that, and you could potentially run into the Don Granato effect of coddling these players and giving them excuses.
But I also...
You can't sit here and tell them that they are still the best, because they're not.
I also get there, though, with Adams. I think Adams gave these guys too much of a sense of belief that they were fine with those moves last season.
Yeah.
We've now heard from it from multiple people, multiple sources on the team, Okposo being one of them, that in October for training camp that they were like, we don't got it.
Yeah, the vibe was off in October. And that's a whole other story, because the captain could tell that in October and didn't do anything about it. But
yeah, so the moment the season was beginning, everyone around the organization went, oh no.
Yeah.
You don't think that's partially because all you did was add depth guys and a leader? I mean,
who is also a depth guy?
Yeah. So it's the constant inaction from this organization, I think, has caused this problem. And now this is your bed. For me personally, love to hear other thoughts. 803-0550 is the number to call. We'll be on from 1 to 3 today leading into Shope and the Bulldog. But for me, the only way the Sabres fix this is by fixing it, by making the playoffs with what you have available to yourselves. It's not that they can't spend money. I think they can. I don't think they're given the option to because guys won't come here. They're never even on anyone's radar. They have to make the playoffs with what they have done with good scouting and the players they've got now. They've got to hope Lindy Ruff is the right coach to give them some legitimacy. That's what they need. Because until that happens, you're never going to convince somebody to come here. Taylor Hall only came here because of his connection to Ralph Kruger. And it wasn't like this long 7-year contract where it's like, no, I'm part of now what Buffalo's building. It was a 1-year deal to hopefully get another one. And he went to a coach he trusted.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
I'm also at the point where I want Taylor Hall 2.0. I want you to go out, sign a player on a big deal for 1 year and say, hey, we're going to prove it to you that we can win, but we just need you. Mm-hmm. And if we do win, we'll sign you to a longer deal.
Problem is, I mean, we're past that phase now.
Well, right. I know that. But in terms of, you can still do that in a trade.
Oh, yes.
There's
Nikolai
Ehlers. There's Dylan Strome in Washington. Mm-hmm. You can go out there and get players. And especially if you trade with a team like Washington, they're cap strapped right now. They don't have cap space.
They may love to have a lot of prospects.
Yeah. They would love to have prospects and picks because, one, they're getting old. Two, at a certain point, their existence is to get Alex Ovechkin the goal record. And three,
that's their existence now.
They're $13 million over the cap right now.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan Strome has a $5 million cap hit. And oh, look, he signed for 4 years.
Yep.
There's a guy with term, and he's only 27, and he plays center.
Something you, as you brought up, they need a third line center.
And look, he doesn't have a no move clause. Like, if he doesn't fit their system or scheme, fine, sure, whatever. We're not going to know that, right? But from our perspective, why isn't a player like him part of the conversation, right? Like, it's mind-boggling because there's so many players out there that look to be something of what they want or need, and it's just not happening.
It's not happening. Like, we're now at a point where, you're looking at Jason Zucker, Sam Lafferty, and Nicholas Abukabel.
And don't get me wrong. Those three signings, again, are great. It's useful.
Yes.
But
they're
not
bad.
It's not the end-all, be-all. It's not. And I get it. If this is, again, back to the safety net conversation, because this is going to be a lot of what-ifs in one thought. What if Tage Thompson returns to form? What if Alex Tuch, J.J. Paterka, Jack Quinn, what if all of those guys do what they did 2 years ago? Well, then you're a playoff team because you probably have better goaltending because Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen took a step and you hope Levi takes a step.
My goodness, 2 years ago, if you had league average goaltending, you were a playoff team.
Yeah. If your defense decides to play defense, that's fine, and your bottom six is better. Mm-hmm. And you have Lindy putting it all together in his scheme, which you know works. Look at New Jersey.
I mean, look at everywhere he's gone.
Right.
He's made the playoffs with every team he's coached.
Even after he changed his coaching scheme. Mm-hmm. He talked about that, and it still worked. But that is so many what-ifs. There are six players being the top six you have right now in Tuch, Thompson, Paterka, Benson, Cousins, Quinn. Those six players all need to do exactly what they did 2 years ago, and some of them need to be even better.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot to ask. You might get three of them if... You might get three of them to do that.
They have they've left themselves no other room to really go, and it has caused now just a logjam of everyone wants certain players. Everyone wants to be able to go get those players, but for me personally, it's gotten to a point of you need to prove to the NHL as a whole, you need to prove to the hockey world that you're not a tire fire of an organization anymore, that you can put someone's career and actually take care of it.
Yeah.
These guys do not play that long on average.
You can bring someone here and make them have a good time.
Like, rather than, again, like they're seeing recently that when guys leave, it actually becomes better for them. Yes, it is a joke partially that like former Sabres leave and then they go on and win a cup pretty soon after.
At this point, I hope it happens so Jeff Skinner can win one. That'd be kind of cool.
Especially because he's literally never made the playoffs. That'd be nice.
And Corey Perry is the opposite of
Jeff
Skinner.
Corey Perry. He makes the playoffs.
We'll see who makes it out of there.
but so for me, it's like the Sabres and the NHL have only just proven the point further that it's just it's better to not come here. It's better to not stay. Some of these guys are. A lot of these younger guys desperately want to win here. And I do think coaching played a massive factor in how bad the Sabres were last year. They never looked good. These guys talked about wanting more accountability, and they just were never getting it. But they now need to prove to the NHL and the hockey world as a whole that they are not a laughingstock anymore. That the days of their star players leaving and immediately winning a cup are over with. But until that happens, they will not be on, you know, this team or this player has these teams and now traded. Oh, and Buffalo's not on the list. They're going to be on the list. Free agents will not come here unless you're literally willing to mortgage everything on a single player, which is also not the way to do things.
But again, like I said,
it's a painful existence, but they do need to go through it. Their problem has been botching every single move for 13 years.
Right. And again, it's too late to do this now, but if you did a one-year deal, big money for one guy, you can give him more money next year because it's a one-year deal. That's why quick PSA to everyone that's mad about the Jason Zucker contract, it's 1 year. I get it, it's $5 million, it's 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get that $5 million back this time next year.
Yeah.
Like, you can sign him again and use part of that money.
I think more the frustration.
Or you can let him go.
But I think the frustration was the realization that, oh, they're not going big game hunting. Which,
right.
If we're being honest, they never were. They don't have the ability to. They have the money. They do have the money. They have the needs. No one is going to come here. Because for 13 years in a sport where half the teams make the playoffs, they have not. And they have seen that some of their better stars leave and go on to have great success. Sam Reinhart signed a pretty nice deal for Florida and for himself.
$8 million.
And
when a lot of people thought he was going to get like 11.
Yeah. And he left Buffalo, never scoring 30 goals in a season. I think since he has scored at least 30 every season, including this year where he had, what, 57?
57. Yeah.
And he just won the cup.
And to all the people thinking that Sam Reinhart, and this isn't Sabres fans, it's just in general. There are people out there saying that this year was a fluke for him.
He's been very good for them since he got there.
Yeah. I'm okay. He probably won't score 57 again next year, but I think he'll get to 40.
I could see 40 again.
I could see 40, no problem.
Jack Eichel really, he's just health issues galore.
Yeah.
But when he's healthy,
right. He's on.
He has been phenomenal for Vegas. Mm-hmm. And then Ryan O'Reilly, as we all know, goes on, wins Conn Smythe. Does pretty well for St. Louis. Age kind of got him by the end.
Right. But now he's in Nashville, and he's okay there.
But those are the three main guys that left and went on to win cups because those were three core pieces to the organization at the time. And that's what you're seeing is core pieces like Ryan O'Reilly and guys like Evander Kane who signed with Buffalo, who decided to go there, sign long-term deals. I know Kane was traded, but signing long-term deals to be part of that project, hated it. And by the end of it, were desperate to get out. Reinhart was so frustrated with the organization for them kind of tiptoeing around him constantly. I'm done. I'm going somewhere else.
But it was one of those, because I remember the interview the video the Sabres posted of, it was like a Sabres embedded thing. And mm-hmm. Kevin Adams was saying on the phone with Sam Reinhart.
Yep.
And basically Reinhart's like, look, I have to leave, but I'm really sorry we couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like it was almost this feeling of, man, like, for me, I have to get out of here,
mm-hmm.
but it sucks we couldn't do it, you know? Like, sorry I didn't do good enough. It's like, no, you did very good.
Yeah.
Nothing else around you worked. Like, that. He was the one of the big three that I wish they didn't lose in Reinhart, Eichel, and Ristolainen. Like, that offseason, Reinhart was the one they should have kept.
Yeah.
No question about it at all. Like,
but it's just, and I'm glad I kind of had a day before I jumped on air. Like I got to kind of just see everything mm-hmm. happen, and then I got to kind of sit on it and read some stuff, and just kind of collect my thoughts. Because initially, yeah, I was just furious with the Sabres of just not doing anything. It's not sexy. It's expected though. This should be expected. What you have to hope for is that they nailed the coach, and that the players are actually as good as they showed 2 years ago. Maybe not the exact numbers. Maybe they do take a little bit of a step back, but not cutting their point totals in half. Their power play going from one of the most dangerous in the league to basically non-existent and at times even detrimental to the team's success. That's what they need to get to, is to a little bit closer to what they were 2 years ago. And then, yeah, they're probably a playoff team, especially when you do add in a much better coach in Lindy Ruff compared to Don Granato. But until we get there, this team is going to constantly be that team that it just everyone looks at and goes, man, I wish relegation was a thing. Because that's what they are. That is what the Sabres have been for over a decade, is, man, I wish relegation was a thing, because this is painful to watch. And it is very painful to watch, because they've let this fester into a wound that is now completely poisonous. It's completely toxic. Because there are teams that have been bad but are able to sign free agents and kind of get this, you know, get the ball rolling. Look at Columbus like 2 years ago with Johnny Gaudreau. Has it worked out great? No, but Columbus
not
was able.
Not at all.
No, but at the time it was like, oh, Columbus is swinging. And yeah, it's because, well, Columbus wasn't a tire fire for 15 years. They were middling, but they had made playoffs. They had won series. They were somewhat of a relevant program within the NHL.
You want to talk about players that have left their teams to go on to great things. Look at Columbus. Panarin,
yeah,
Bobrovsky.
Yeah, that's tough.
Seth Jones, kind of. Like
Seth Jones, kind of.
Well, I don't know. There's names in there. Like it.
That was their thing for years, though.
Yeah.
That was their thing for years. That
mainly Panarin and Bobrovsky.
Yep. But like, but players left there because they were like, I'm not dealing with this.
Yeah,
it's Columbus.
Right. Yeah.
Where the Sabres, but that was their thing. Their thing was, it was the market. It wasn't a hockey market. It just made no sense. Buffalo is. Buffalo has the fanfare. But it's such a poorly run organization that no one wants to come here anymore. And now they have to make do with this. They have to make this work. This is the bed they've made. They've got to lay in it. 803-0550 is the number to call. Where are you at with the Sabres 1 day after free agency has opened? Are you feeling a little bit better? Are you still frustrated with the team? What move do you want to see Kevin Adams and co. make? 803-0550 again is the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here until 3 o'clock. You're listening to WGR.
Yeah, I mean, I won't do it. It's not like the offseason stops, you know. There's ongoing conversations. Plus, you know, the dust settles a little bit and you see where different teams are. But I really like where our group's at right now. I like it a lot. I like the look of our team. We had goals coming this offseason, what we were trying to achieve. And then I think we're a much better team today than we were a couple days ago.
Buffalo Sabres general manager Kevin Adams there. I expect him to say nothing less. It doesn't mean I'm not going to get upset about it.
I will go back to this specific day. If everything works out next year, fine.
Fine, yeah.
Cool. Put me on Old Takes Exposed. I don't care. I want to be wrong, but I know I won't be. That's where I'm at. I really, really want to be wrong.
Well, because they haven't given you any reason to believe in their process.
Yeah.
Not once.
No. Because, well, to be fair, since Adams has gotten into this, he had to deal with Ralph Kruger.
Mm-hmm. The Eichel situation.
He hired Granato, situation, which worked for a little while,
mm-hmm,
and then it didn't work. Every GM before him has never really got to implement a system, and Adams is still trying to figure out what his system is, it seems like.
Which is not good.
No.
He's been in the job, since 2020?
Yes. I think so. Yeah.
Gotta make sure.
Yeah, because I remember they did Botterill's firing over a Zoom,
mm-hmm,
and all that stuff, because it was during COVID and everything, and they couldn't do that everything the way it usually was. But I think it's interesting because Adams seems like he has an idea of what he wants to do. But remember, he just hired most of the guys on his staff,
mm-hmm,
over the last year or two. Like, he hired Karmanos, Ventura, Nightingale.
Yep.
All of the scouts and stuff, all of that was not here when he was here.
Mm-hmm.
So it did take him time to get the people he wanted to get his system going. But I just don't think it's all the way there yet.
And that's concerning. This is going on year 4/5, and we're still doing a song and dance about what he wants the Sabres to look like. I think he knows what he wants the Sabres to look like.
I think there's just stuff that's hindering him.
Yep.
Like players or whatever.
But with that being said, because I haven't seen it, I don't have faith that he is going to be able to make a big trade or make a big free agent move or anything like that. Because I haven't been able to see it once. And they've been in a playoff hunt. They have. And it didn't really amount to much. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to jump in and give us your thoughts on how you feel after day one of NHL free agency. What moves do you still want to see the Sabres make? Or are you with Kevin Adams there and kind of happy with where the team's at heading into, well, the summer? Let's start on the line here with Mike from Niagara Falls. Mike, good afternoon, my friend. How are we doing today?
How you guys? Good. And you guys, I agree with what most of you guys are saying. This Sabres team has just become a joke. This Kevin Adams, I don't have any faith in him. This job is way above his head. I mean, 2 years ago, we were in that playoff race. He didn't make any moves to help the team. And then there's two guys. I just want to make a quick point. Two guys that have to go is Adams and Matt Ellis. When those two guys are all out of the organization, and then we can start growing, because these guys seem like they're just with the Academy of Hockey or with the Junior Sabres. They want to hire their buddies. Lindy Ruff kept Matt Ellis. I don't know why. So once those two guys are out of the organization, maybe we can become a real NHL team. That's all I have.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for the call.
When Lindy was hired, mm-hmm. Ellis was kept on the staff, but moved away. He's in more of like an eye in the sky kind of role rather than like a bench coach.
Yeah.
So,
but look,
take that with what you will.
But Mike is not the first caller or even fan I've heard that also was like, I have no faith in Adams. This job is he's over his head. I've heard that countless times now. And yeah, we just brought it up. Mike brought it up too. It was like in that playoff chase, they didn't do anything. They took the team they had and all right, let's see if we can make the playoffs with bad goaltending. Their move was to bring up Levi. That's what their move was. Right at the end, let's bring up Levi. And then their move there was, he's 21, goalies are really weird, no one understands them, he's going to be our number one. And the beginning of the year, Josh, do you remember the beginning of the year with Levi?
I went to the game where, I'm a firm believer that he let it in, but I don't know. Yep. Mm-hmm. That shot from center ice, mm-hmm. that, I don't even remember who they were playing. I think we might have been Boston, or no, it was Calgary. Mm-hmm. He let a puck in from center ice.
Just
like
off pass, yeah, and like and that's
what are we doing?
And that's where I can understand it, and I know Mike Schopa said this a lot, and I fully agree with it. There was a point I had a lot of faith in Adams, like blind mm-hmm. faith, and a lot of it came the Jerry Fortin video. Josh, me and you have talked about
where
this
he's crying.
Off air because Adams finally was letting a scout really do his job and was doing it well, and they were building up the pipeline,
and that's
actually
what he's
felt like.
That's what he's done great.
Yeah, and it felt like they were moving forward. I am somebody very much of the belief your pipeline, you know, your prospect group has to be strong to actually build a contender. Then you bring those guys up, and that's the core that takes you forward while you add in a few maybe free agents or trades. Yes. Since then, though, it does look like he doesn't really know what's going on. I've brought it up already today. The Lindy Ruff hire felt way too fast. And I don't think it was judged as harshly as maybe it should have been because of who the head coach was. Because it was Lindy Ruff coming in. I think because there was an honest thought there that, hey, if he got, you know, solid goaltending, league average goaltending in New Jersey, he's probably not available. But then to hear Adams go up there and go, it was an extensive search. You know, we did this, that, and the other thing. And we really dug deep into this. And you're just sitting there going, dude, the season's been over for 15 minutes.
At the same time, though, it could have also been if you've done such an extensive search, how long have you wanted to fire Don Granato? Right?
Yeah.
They didn't have to do their search after they fired him. They could have started searching for people
and
talking to people.
Like, that is fair.
It's not against the rules. So
that's because Lindy was available.
And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but I am saying that is a possibility. I think it still looks almost as bad.
Well, and it doesn't help either that when like national guys are like, yeah, there's no way they could have done like a full search. Like this was done just too quickly. And it was. And that's where a lot of my lack of faith now is coming in with Adams. Is just it feels like this is a move to just we need fans to be engaged because we are at the risk of this becoming you you all you never get to apathetic right away. It has to be incredibly toxic, incredibly angry, and then people's emotions simmer down, and then they just don't care. And we're getting towards that point. We are. Yesterday was a little bit of a hot day for Sabres Twitter. It was, no doubt. But I fear we are getting to that point. Josh, me and you have talked about it. I went to like 10 games in their season where they kind of like caught fire and were running gun style. We went to a lot of them that year, the whole thing. I was having a blast to the point where I was like, all right, I'm going to see how the first month goes. Then I'm going to like, you know, buy a ton of tickets, have like a package, the whole thing. I went to 2 games last year, both for free. What was the point to go? They were bad at the start and they stayed bad the whole year. But they were never the worst team in the league. That was not a tank team. That was a team that was trying to get in the playoffs and for months couldn't string 2 wins together.
Couldn't even string 3 wins together. Yeah.
It was an awful product really from the word go. And they did nothing the offseason leading into it. It was just a lot of we're going to grow and these are the depth pieces. And oh, never forget, Josh, never forget. Guy, leadership guy as well, who, by the way, did nothing. Again. Let's go back to the phones here. We've got Rick on the line. Rick, how are we doing today?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Doing pretty good.
Hey, I hate to jump on what everybody else is saying, but maybe I got something else to add. The free agents don't want to come here because of what happened last year, or a big part. The league was getting won over by Buffalo and what was going on here and the young talent that was here. And then Adams failed to make the proper moves last year. I mean, the moves were horrible moves. I mean, just minuscule moves. And he thought he had it all down and it was going to be great. Everybody else knew we needed character people in here. He didn't make the proper moves and we wound up where we are. Now you look at it and nobody wants to come here. They just see failure after failure after failure. He's at fault here. He's so tight he could stick a... Anyway, I'll stop there just to say that this is on him. And you know, at the end of the season, there was an interview after he fired Granato where he was defending the lack of moves or the moves he made at the end of last season. And now in his free agency stint here, he says something like, you know what? I like where we're at right now. And when I hear that kind of stuff, I think he doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it. I cannot, in good conscience, spend my money on that.
Yeah, Rick, and I will say this, though, and thanks for the call. I will say this on Adams. He has talked a lot about the number one, you know, their first-round pick is available to trade. They're willing to make moves, the whole thing. My point is, I think we've gotten to a point he can't. The league does not trust the Sabres for a player to want to go there, to trust their career with the organization. And I do think, to a certain extent, Adams is in over his head on that and how to dig this team out of, essentially, the grave.
You basically just, you need great PR. Like,
yeah, which they had last year.
And I'm not saying in terms of, you know, Sabres PR, like the Twitter account. I'm saying former players like Kyle Okposo.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning what they say when they're like, yeah, this is a great city to be in. Yeah. I loved playing there. The team was fun. I had a good time. And while Okposo on Spit and Chicklets earlier this morning did say, oh, yeah, no, it's a great city. Like, I love the people. I love all of that, which is fine. That's a great endorsement, and I think we all appreciate that. But it doesn't really say anything about the hockey team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why players are coming here. They're not coming here because they want to go to Buffalo. They're coming here because they want to play hockey and they want to win and they want to compete and they want to be the best they can be. And when players are leaving, it's like, yeah, you know, the city was great and the team, like, yeah, there was a team there.
It feels like, very disingenuous.
Yeah, it just feels like they're very forced. They're tiptoeing around this big elephant in the room that says, look, there's a 13-year playoff drought and
It's still going on.
And yeah, there was no end in sight last year or the year before or the year before that. The closest we got was 2 years ago.
And that's for me.
And we were all, you know, engulfed in it and happy with it. And I think that's also why, at least in my opinion for me, I was so okay with last offseason because it's like, yeah. No, I believe you. Thompson and Quinn and Paterka and Tuck, they're all going to be great again next year and they're going to take steps and they're going to be even better and the goaltending is going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great in theory. The goaltending did get better, but nothing else did. Everything regressed because Granato changed up his systems and decided we need to be more defensive because we let in too many goals. Your goaltending is 20 and 21 years old last year. Now they're 22 and 21.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, Lukanen's older. Lukanen's my age. He's 25.
25.
But Levi's 21. You had an inexperienced goaltender.
That was your hope and prayer.
And he was going to get better this year. You didn't need to change anything. You just needed to wait for him to get better and maybe sign a few pieces.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you needed to do. And that's basically all they did. But then they decided to change everything in terms of the coaching style. And this is the only knock I have ever had on Granato, is that everything changed around last year for no reason. He was holding them back.
Oh, I don't disagree, but they needed to make more moves. They had to look more serious than they did. I think that's my biggest problem, is when the iron was hot, they didn't strike it at all. They got timid. They truly bought into their own stuff of, no, we're coming, baby, we're coming. And they got in October and realized, oh, never mind. We're not actually that good. That tells me a lack of complete understanding of their own team, and that's concerning. And when the iron was hot, they didn't actually go out to make any moves. They got a depth defenseman in Boston who was riding the bench by the end of the year, a team that, by the way, lost in the first round. So, you know, if he was any good, they would have used him. And Eric Johnson, who it was fun to say, hey, former first overall pick, we've got like four of them now on the defense. He's been relatively disappointing most of his career. He is nowhere near one of the faces of Colorado when he was on there, when they were winning cups or at least competing for them. They needed to announce to the league that they were serious, and they didn't. They stayed pat, and they should have actually done something. And now, when the league realizes they got and went, it's still Buffalo. It's still Buffalo. Never mind. Now they really can't do anything. Now they are handcuffed to, again, the bed they have made. They've got to lay in it, which is the pieces you've got now, some of the prospects hoping they can come up, and a few depth pieces here and there. And you got to hope and pray that it works and you're off to the races. Because if you're not, then you are going to get some of the pieces you have now wanting out again. And we're going to be right back to where we are. Because Tage Thompson, I think around the league, is thought to be a very good player. That is coming. It is.
Darlene's been in it longer.
Darlene, yeah, is coming. That is going to happen. If they continue to be bad, there will be teams that are going to be willing to give you whatever prospects you want, because you're the Buffalo Sabres. It's not going to matter. They're not going to bite you. You're building that kind of belief around the league, and it only goes away if you become competitive and become good. Got to take a quick timeout here. We'll get to your calls after a quick timeout. 803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here until 3 o'clock. No One Bills Live this week, and this is WGR. Quick segment here before we get to the top of the hour. Another disappointing team, the U.S. men's national team for soccer, the first team in Copa America history to host the tournament and to get knocked out in the group stage. They lose 1-0 last night to Uruguay in Kansas City, I believe last night's game was. They lost to Panama 2-1. They beat Bolivia 2-0.
Not a good stadium for the game, by the way.
I think
the
did
you see the puddles on the field?
Yeah.
Like, there were. I mean, I don't know. I guess you could say this is sort of a fan problem. There were a lot of empty seats.
Especially
up on the 300 levels, and I honestly don't blame people.
It's so expensive. Mm-hmm. Those tickets are a lot of money, and then you put in an 80,000-person stadium, which not many soccer stadiums are those outside of like
for a group stage
major
game.
Ones. Yeah, we're gonna have a little bit of an issue, but man, oh, that they find new ways to embarrass the United States. It's so bad. And then Matt Turner goes on afterwards and goes, I really like, you know, the progression we're having. Like,
get out of here, Matt.
We look pretty good. And it's like, you're the first host nation of Copa America to get group staged.
Yeah.
And you're going to go out there instead of complaining, go, yeah, something needs to change. I actually really like our progression. You're hosting the World Cup in 2026, and those were your last competitive games.
You lost to Panama.
You lost to Panama, and you beat Bolivia.
Yeah.
Those were your three games leading up, competitive games leading up to the World Cup in 2 years. Just a complete disaster. I'm with Joe DiBiase because I know he was tweeting about it this morning. I don't know why Greg Berhalter is still a coach.
It's 1:54 and Greg Berhalter is still the head coach. Oh, I'm sorry. It's 1:55 in 3, 2, 1. I mistimed it a little bit. Now it's 155, and Greg Berhalter is still the head coach of the U.S. men's national team. What are we doing?
Good. It's just not good at all. Got to take another quick timeout here. When we come back, still taking your calls on the Buffalo Sabres. A little bit of a frustrating first day of free agency. Is it signs that this team is just potentially not taken seriously around the league, or are there more moves to come? We'll take your calls. 803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here for another hour right here on WGR. Quick segment here before we get to the top of the hour. Another disappointing team, the U.S. men's national team for soccer, the first team in Copa America history to host the tournament and to get knocked out in the group stage. They lose 1-0 last night to Uruguay in Kansas City, I believe last night's game was. They lost to Panama 2-1. They beat Bolivia 2-0.
Not a good stadium for the game, by the way.
I think
the
cameras, did
you see the puddles on the field?
Yeah.
Like, there were. I mean, I don't know. I guess you could say this is sort of a fan problem. There were a lot of empty seats.
Especially
up in the 300 levels, and I honestly don't blame people.
It's so expensive. Mm-hmm. Those tickets are a lot of money, and then you put in an 80,000-person stadium, which not many soccer stadiums are those outside of like
for a group the stage
major
game.
Ones. Yeah, we're gonna have a little bit of an issue, but man, oh, that they find new ways to embarrass the United States. It's so bad. And then Matt Turner goes on afterwards and goes, "I really like the progression we're having. Like,
get out of here, Matt.
We look, we look pretty good." And it's like, you're the first host nation of Copa America to get group staged.
Yeah.
And you're going to go out there instead of complaining, go, yeah, something needs to change. You're going to, I actually really like our progression. You're hosting the World Cup in 2026, and those were your last competitive games.
You lost to Panama.
You lost to Panama, and you beat Bolivia.
Yeah.
Those were your three games leading up, competitive games leading up to the World Cup in 2 years. Just a complete disaster. I'm with Joe DiBiase because I know he was tweeting about it this morning. I don't know why Greg Berhalter is still a coach.
It's 154 and Greg Berhalter is still the head coach. Oh, I'm sorry. It's 155 in 3, 2, 1. I mistimed it a little bit. Now it's 155 and Greg Berhalter is still the head coach of the U.S. men's national team. What are we doing?
It's just not good at all. Got to take another quick timeout here. When we come back, still taking your calls on the Buffalo Sabres. A little bit of a frustrating first day of free agency. Is it signs that this team is just potentially not taken seriously around the league, or are there more moves to come? We'll take your calls. 803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here for another hour right here on WGR.